This is the Careering into Motherhood podcast, and I'm Jane Johnson, founder of Careering into Motherhood. Through our coaching programs, masterclasses, the community of 7,000 women over on our Facebook group, and this podcast, we aim for a world where motherhood and ambition can happily coexist. For more information about all the support we offer, including coaching programs and masterclasses, please see our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com, or find us on Facebook. Just look for the group Careering into Motherhood. My guest today is Hattie Ashdown, comedian, actress, and host of the podcast Funny Mummies. Go and check her out if you haven't already. But I asked from the podcast to talk about making it in the world of live theatre and performance as a mum, and how the world of stand-up comedy, how on earth that goes online during the pandemic. I've never spoken to a comedian before. Well, not a real one. Lots who think they are, but their signature joke tends to be, cheer up, love, it might never happen. And here's what we covered. How do you get into comedy? Is it just that all your friends are laughing their heads off at you?
I think looking back, I was like the class clown, but I didn't really realise it at the time. Obviously, it wasn't like, oh, I'm a joker. I wasn't very confident. I had dyslexia. I didn't know it. And, you know, so you hide it with them mucking about. But like since then, I've talked to school friends and they go, oh, no, you're always doing this. You're always doing impressions of Mr. Bean. I said, why is Mr. Bean? But I think the entertainment gene was there because for a long time I thought I wanted to be a dancer, which is hilarious. So I do the odd dances in assembly, you know. Don't you remember them, you know? Sir, can we do a dance in assembly? Oh, God. It's like, poor everyone else. And we'd choreograph something to New Kids on the Block or whatever, you know. And so I think I'd always sort of wanted to show off. And then there was a moment when I used to go to an Amdram, as you do, but I'd always be at the back as a sort of villager or something. And then my sister, who is very, very funny, much funnier than me, but she's older than me. My sisters are a lot older than me. And she said, oh, do you know what? Well, looking back, she was only about 23. She went, if I could do things again, I think I'd go to performing arts school. And I was like, is that something you can do?
Did you not watch Fame?
Exactly. Well, actually, yeah, that would have been very much her era. But small town Kent, you know, we didn't, you know, my mum didn't send me. She sent me to ballet, but I didn't really concentrate now. We didn't really have anything like that. And yeah, and not blaming my mum or anything, of course. But I don't come from an entertaining family at all, apart from naturally, you know, some of them are show offs. But so that was a bit of a light. And then so when I was at school and, you know, you're having the careers thing, somebody said, well, you can go to a drama college. And I was like, really? And yeah, I'd not enjoyed school because I just couldn't find what it was apart from the school plays. And so I thank one particular drama teacher, thank God for Mr. Oh, I'm forgetting his name. You always remember their name. I forgot Miss McQuaid. And so I went to college. Then I went to university and I went to university instead of going to drama school, I think, because I was still kind of like, do I want to be an actor? And you can do a bit of everything then, can't you? Writing, everything, university. So
what did you do at university?
Theatre studies, darling, and sociology.
And anology.
Anology, yeah. I loved sociology, actually, I think sometimes more than the theatre studies, but that's because I got to see some of the other students that weren't, I could show off more, you know, because I was just like the only drama one. So, and we did weird things like Irish cinema, you know, there was like weird, yeah, it was weird courses. Anyway, so I did that and then I'd never left education. So I came out and I messed around, if I'm honest, working in record shops and having a whale of a time. And I was just like, oh God, I guess I've got to sort. What do I want to do? So I'd signed. So I'm actually, I hate to say it was sort of down to a boy, but it was kind of down to a boy. I'd met up with an old boyfriend who always been a friend, and he was doing comedy writing for quite a famous comedian, Russell Brand, I'll just say it. I thought, I'd never seen him doing that sort of thing. I was like, because he'd done art, and I thought, oh, is that something, again, is that something you can do? Yeah, and then I got together with this guy who was a presenter and stuff, and he was very encouraging, and I think he did encourage me a lot, and, Yeah, I just signed up for all these courses and at a place called the Actors Centre, which is brilliant, in London, Covent Garden. And then one of them was stand-up. And a lot of people I talk to on my podcast say the same thing, where it's like, it's there, so in the back of your head, you don't even realise you want to do it. It's a weird thing. And so I did this course. The course wasn't that great, but it did open the doors. So
the rest is history. But you still do acting, don't you?
I do. That's sort of more bread and butter for the odd commercial or a short film. I think it's just, I hate to say make excuses because of kids, but it is so hard. I mean, my friend who's got two kids as well, and she's a proper Raja actress, darling. And she always says, you know, you go there and you're all to auditions and you're flustered and you're sweaty. And then, because you've got two kids, and then you get there, you look around and there's these women that look like they've been blow dried and they're all pristine. So you are up against that.
Yeah, so I think that's the same in any job. So it's actually quite reassuring that you see these more, to me, glamorous jobs, and you're still facing the same juggle, as it were.
I mean, I remember with my, first, because there was this thing of like to get back out there and then going for an audition. And my friend was also going for the same audition. So we took both our babies and we were like breastfeeding them and waiting to go in. And I was like, never again, because I was just too, I wanted to be that woman, but really I was just too sweaty and flustered, you know? Because half of you's thinking about the baby in the waiting room, and personally, it doesn't work for me. But I know a lot of people who can. I think I could do it now with like the old one. I'd leave him there with an iPad or whatever. But I think, yeah, when the babies and stuff, I can't do it.
Yeah, I once interviewed someone. Yeah, and she was like, oh, anyway, I've got to go now because I had a baby 3 months ago, and she's just downstairs in the cafe with my mum. And I remember just thinking, oh my God, you really are superwoman. Jesus, it took me, I don't know, months even to think about getting out of the house with him just to go to a Monkey Music or something, let alone be in a state to be able to go for an interview and that kind of thing. So how, I'm really interested when I talk to people who are effectively freelance, because I think motherhood is so, not unmanageable, but unpredictable. And then if you have a career that's also quite unpredictable, as in you never know what's going to come in next and when you might have to down tools and so on. How do you kind of plan that and manage that?
Well, I mean, if you mean financially or mentally?
No, more mentally.
Like you said, I always try to find the positive, really. And so, yeah, when I was pregnant, I was quite happy to still go out gigging in the evening and just, you know, wanting to do as much as possible. And then, as you know, I don't know what sort of pregnancy you have, it sort of goes up and down. So the trouble is with gigs, you book them in advance and then they come around. You're like, oh my God, I really don't feel like it tonight. But then you get a sort of like honeymoon period, I did anyway, of pregnancy. And it was like, yeah, I want to go and do as many gigs as I can. But I don't know, in terms of dealing, it's a good, really good question. I'm trying to...
Maybe you just did it without, you know, you didn't need a plan. You just did it.
The sort of, like, I know lots of my friends always say to me, which I don't know if to take as a compliment or not, who like, they say, oh, you're still doing it. It's so great that you're still doing it. And like, meaning they've got into a proper job or 9 to 5, it's not freelance. And I sort of sometimes go, oh, no, I go, yeah, but it's really... You know, it's insecure. It is insecure. And I guess I do plan to a certain extent. I love a diary and I love a planner. Financially, how I got through it was, so 3 years ago, or maybe it's coming up for 4, Lucy Porter, a comedian, gave me basically Screaming With Laughter, which is the lunchtime comedy club that I now run. Because, you know, she said to me, I started emceeing it because she was like, you know, you can bring your baby along. And that was great. And then basically she wanted to give it up. And she said, you know, do you want to take it over? I looked at the spreadsheets, which weren't great. But I was like, well, this is a good, you know, I can bring the baby to work. Even though I just said all that about casting. But with that, it's different because I do have somebody sort of help. And when you're emceeing, it's a little bit like everyone's around your house and you're just kind of like got the baby, you know, on your hip or whatever. But so financially, I guess that was a good security. But yes, I think because I've been doing this, since my early 20s, the hard thing is like that classic thing of like booking holidays and stuff like that. And then you get a last, like this weekend, like there's been no castings really. And then I was planning a night away with my husband. And of course, I get this recall and they said it'll be the next day. And I'm like, oh no, I'm going to be away and I'm going to be hungover. And I've literally been at the airport before to go on holiday, waiting to see if I got it. Because I'm like, I remember with one boyfriend, we're like, well, we might as well just try it and see, you know.
And what did you do? Did you turn around and come back?
I think in the end I didn't get it. So we just went on the holiday. But yeah, it's so, you just have to sort of, it forces you to live in the now.
Yeah, there must be huge benefits to it. And also, Hattie, I mean, you sound so passionate. I think it's about, I don't know many people in the theatre, but I know a few people are sort of on the fringes. And it's a lifestyle, isn't it? And I know we talked about, you know, when you were coming on the show about, you know, your passion is literally your day job, and you manage to sort of almost seamlessly blend that with your family and not putting too much sense of self-worth, I guess, on salary and income. I mean, obviously you need to pay the bills, but I'd love to just talk a bit about that, because as you've talked about, it's unpredictable. Your work is unpredictable, so therefore the finances must be equally unpredictable.
Oh, well, if I get the finance, I mean, it's funny you said that, because my another fantastic actress friend of mine, but she gave it all up, and I remember her saying to me long before she gave up, she said, well, she's an actress and not a comedian, and I think there's a sort of difference because I sort of write my own stuff as well and all that. And she went, oh, so you're like, your work is like your life as well. It's like, yeah, it's not just, you know, and I think that's one of the reasons why she ducked out, was because it wasn't for her. Like, and acting as well, it isn't just like clock in and clock out. And again, the trouble with acting is she was like, you judge your self-worth by your sort of last job or not getting last job. So and I think that applies in comedy as well, because you might do a gig and it didn't go very well, whatever. And I guess the trick is you learn not to, and you just go, next, that's not who I am. But I think in audition, when it comes to auditions, it's different. It's so hard not to go, I didn't get that, I must be shit. And that's the difference, I think, between just kind of, well, maybe it's not different. I was going to say the difference between like running company. I don't know.
I think it's exactly the same.
Is it? Oh, yes. I'm saying it out loud, I'm like, yeah, I guess it is the same.
So whether you're going for an interview because you're looking for what I call a PAYE job, or I get hugely down whether we're looking for new clients, or I'm looking for sponsors or whatever it may be. And we're like, yeah, we're on the cusp, it's going to go out. And then, you know, just something doesn't go quite right. And I think I really self-doubt. I'm like, oh God, I'll give it all up. The number of times I've gone, that's it, I'm going to go and open a florist at the end of my road.
Really?
Yeah.
What pulls you back?
Well, I suppose it is that thing, like you said, thinking, actually, no, come on, there's more to do here. And because they didn't go for it doesn't mean somebody else won't.
When you first said about coming on, I was saying to my husband, like, I was like, oh, it's all successful women, and I don't feel like a successful woman because I'm just making no money at the moment. And, you know, I hate to say it was a man that said, no, he was like, well, no, don't, you know, don't measure your success by what money you're making. And that's actually something I'm really working through now, is just going, you know, and because a lot of my peers are doing much better than me in terms of financial, because I ducked out a bit when I had the kids. And that's it. I mean, comedy just moves so fast that you can't. And at the time, I was absolutely fine with it. I wanted to have kids so much. But obviously now sometimes I'm going, oh, okay, she's on TV. And but it was because I was going through a list of all the stuff I've done. And when you do a list of stuff I've done, I'm like, oh, it obviously looks quite impressive, but it feels at this moment I haven't got any money to show for it. But that shouldn't be what it's all about, obviously, because that can change overnight, can't it, I guess?
Exactly. And I also think it's in terms of what I do, I think often I'll be like, oh God, that's it. You know, give it all up. I don't know why I do this. It's all, I spend a lot of hours investing my time in it for very little financial return. And then, I don't know, I hear about someone who's take it, whether it's in this Facebook group, someone who's taken real inspiration from a post that somebody wrote, or they've actually found jobs, women who actually find jobs because we allow companies to recruit from the group. There's no fee for advertising jobs and things like that. And then I hear about that and I'm like, actually, no, this is making a difference, and I'm going to keep doing it for a bit longer. But yeah, it is a really interesting one. And I think especially at the moment when the world appears to be going to hell, and, you know, to think about, oh, everything's not going right, but finding the things that you are good at and the things that you have done that make an impact. Just making people laugh, Hattie, is bloody brilliant.
Well, that's what we all need. I'm trying. It's like you said, I do try to be glass half full and be positive. And now at this moment, when a lot of my friends are freaking out and going, you know, I mean, in terms of stand up, some gigs are running. I'm doing one tonight.
Yeah, and that's actually in person.
That's in person. It's not on Zoom, yeah. Because I have been doing some on Zoom. Anyone wants to know how that works, you can book us. Go to Nice and Spiky. It's my friend, actually, very inspirational. She used to work for the BBC and then she left. She wanted to start her own comedy production promoter company. I think she'd been going about 6 months. She'll probably tell me off because I probably got just before lockdown. So it's a bit annoying. But in that time, she had built up a lot of different companies and she does comedy in private members club. But what she did do at the beginning, it's funny what you say at the beginning of lockdown, isn't it? Because I said, we got to do stuff online. She's like, oh, no, that won't work. A month or so later, she's like, right, so we're doing this, doing that. And how it works is from small groups of like 10, 20 to up to 50 or even more. I think she's had hundreds. And literally everyone comes on Zoom. If it's a big group like 50, 100, not everyone's got their mic on, obviously. She'll just select a few so that the comedians have got a bit of laughter. And yeah, either it'll just be a comedian from their own home and you're watching them, or we've been doing ones where they're in a studio.
That must be so hard, isn't it? Just, I suppose, I don't like the idea of me standing in front of a Zoom telling jokes.
You have to get used to it. And I think it's sort of, in my mind, you sort of got to switch into almost the radio mode / TV mode, really. Yeah, but they've gone really well and people are booking up Christmas parties. So, yeah, that again is part of me and her trying to be, you know, right, what can we do with this situation? Like everyone at the moment, you're wobbling between going, oh my God, what's going to happen? And just trying to, yeah, I mean, it is a bit frightening for us because all my work is in events, really, in entertaining, which involves lots of people. But I'm trying to then now I've got to be creative and think, okay, how can we, like you say, make this into an opportunity? You know, some gigs are starting back and there's all different, you know, obviously rules and regulations that we're trying to keep it. But in terms of my new parents gig that I do, I've got one this Wednesday and, you know, I've sold a few tickets. So obviously they're up for coming out.
Where is that?
So that one's in Balham at the Bedford. Oh, do you know it?
I do, from many, many years ago. Yeah. It's all. They always used to have a comedy upstairs, didn't they? Was it called the Banana?
Yeah, still going. It's one of the longest running ones. And they've done it all up now. It's all a nice posh hotel as well. But I just didn't know. I really feel sorry for all these new mums and dads in COVID. I'm not sure how they'll be, but some I spoke to really up for it. So
I think just anything to get out and do something different. And
there is potential for a lot of comedy material, I'll tell you. There always is when there's some political and global nightmare.
Yeah. I think I was reading last night that Spitting Image is coming back. You're probably too young to remember that.
No, I do. And I know someone who's writing on it. And yeah, I'm excited about it. But my husband's like, oh, I think this is going to be awful, isn't it? Blah, blah.
Well, there's just so much material, surely.
Well, yeah, right, that's what I said. And I said, at least then I'll know who are the politicians because I'm really rubbish. And that's how I remember a lot of politicians. It's business. Mm.
Boris is the one with the blonde hair, right?
I know that one.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Hattie. I really wish you all the very best.
Oh,
and all the details, if you want to book Hattie, then we'll put them in the show notes. And thank you. It's been really nice talking
You're
to
welcome.
You.
You're welcome.
Lots of laughs there, and exactly what we all need right now. Massive thanks to Hattie for coming on the podcast. Go and have a listen to hers at Funny Mummies. And if you're in London and looking for things to do with your baby, then check out screamingwithlaughter.com. They're still doing some performances. Don't forget, you can find out more about what we're up to at www.careeringintomotherhood.com. We've got our last coaching program coming up next month. And if you'd like more details, you can find out everything on the website. Otherwise, I'll see you again in 2 weeks' time.